CliffCentral.com.
That's a good show, that. The MKT show.
It's very good.
Oh, yeah. I've heard good things, eh? Apparently, like, it's like very little sports happens. It's literally like Oprah with a little bit of sports. Like, that much sports. And, like, everything else is like life lessons and, like, all this hectic stuff. Ah, it's the vibe.
Yeah. And if you'd like to subscribe, join us on Cliff Central Sport on YouTube. There is a situation developing. James Ilsley has missed gym today. And we will tell you more about what that means for him. He's in for a massive, massive cost. But you can catch that.
A fafalali.
Oh, yeah. He's in some big money troubles. He will be eating beans and toast for January because he's going to have to pay me back. But we will talk about that. 12 to 2 p.m., of course, on Cliff Central Sport. Go and like, share, subscribe, be a friend, tell a friend. Lebang, before we get into your dilemma of how good-looking South African women are, which you are a part of, you're in that whole mix. Is Life with Lebang is
yes,
a show?
Yes, correct.
That's on. You're doing
yes.
it. Where can people catch it? What's it about?
So Life with Lebang is every Thursday from 9 a.m. till 10 a.m. And it's really like a lifestyle show. So those of you who know, I'm like a mother of four tiny humans. So I really unpack like the parenting as a young woman living in South Africa and just like the daily struggles that I experience. And then on the other side of the show, I literally chat to some of the most awesome people who are living a life that I wish all South Africans could live, which is being selfless. I speak to people who own soup kitchens. I speak to people who tutor kids for free. I speak to people that literally give of themselves. And that part of the show is called This Is Us, because actually, like, we're trying to really shed some light on just some of the good vibes. You know, we see so much bad news in the media all the time. So yeah, my show is just really like spreading that positivity on some of the better things, you know, just to brighten up your day and just give you a bit of hope. You know, being South African is tricky. It's tricky. Sometimes it's like
not for sissies.
Exactly. So definitely Life with Lebang every single Thursday on Cliff Central from 9 to 10.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. So you can catch
Bolelo, you're frozen there.
Oh,
there you're back.
Maybe it's just a cold heart. I see what you're saying. That could be true in the literal and the figurative sense. So Lebang, you were saying you were. By the way, a lot of people coming on. Obviously, if you're just joining now, you're thinking, "Where's Gareth Cliff?" This is called the Gareth Cliff Show. It is still called that. It is the GCS, but Gareth is away for a little bit. He will be. He's in an unnamed location. Just recharging the batteries, but he'll be back next week. So, Lebang, you in the line, ladies, good lookingness.
Yes. So, yes, yesterday I am auditioning for a commercial, and there's like a bunch of other people there and a range of people. So, everybody that's there is obviously auditioning for whatever role. So, I'm there. You know, it's just me, myself, and I. The group of people in front of me is like three middle-aged Afrikaans gay guys who are just killing it. They're sitting there amazing, sounding amazing. And for me, this is like really the first time I've, you know, been exposed to. I'm quite intrigued. I'm looking at the it. It's like two of the most Zuluist people you'll meet.
Zuluist.
Yeah, tall, present, you know, deep, deep accent. You can hear that these ones are from right in the heart of KZN. They don't speak a drop of English and they could care less to. On that side of the room are these beautiful girls who are like early 20s. You can see they're young. They've got long dreadlocks. Others have like huge afros. Just this range of people. And, you know, I sat there and I'm like, this is South Africa.
Yeah,
this is exactly us. Awesome. We are all so different and so beautiful within our differences. There's no one term to say, what does a South African look like? Or
no,
what is this?
Or sound like,
You can't, because we all just like have our energies and our vibes, you know, and when you put that together, guys, I wanted to cry yesterday. It was so beautiful. I was like, yo. And at the same time, everybody in that room was still able to relate. So it wasn't like, I'm here, I'm not talking to you. I don't feel you. I can still talk to you and I can relate to you because there's something that still brings us together. Ugh, it was just so beautiful. I should have actually captured that moment. And I was just so deep in it.
No,
you said captured energy. It in your head, which is the most important part.
Yeah, that is important. You've said energy.
It was just nice, man.
I've got more stones here. Obviously, Miss Mulholland, who was on the show the other day, Jasmine Mulholland sent, and I now have more chakra alignment available for people.
Crystals.
So that's a that's one. So we've got to manifest a different energy. I'm the guy for you in the Cliff Central studios. Obviously, a good feng shui for you amateurs out there. You need a good feng shui. You got to move the furniture
sometimes.
Very
good. Setting the mood.
Absolutely incredible. Yep. So I hear you there.
And he's not even lying. There's like a box here.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. There is. I'm real about it.
That's got all his things. Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, that stuff. Move it around. It's going to make a difference if you just burn a herb. It'll get rid of, okay. I mean, let's not get into it. It's a Friday. Francois Retief says, speaking of mixed pot in SA, I'm Afrikaans, guys, and according to my DNA analysis, I was 5% North African, 2% Nigerian, and wait for it, 0.8% Nepalese. I mean, goodness. Now, that is a South African. We are a mixed pot, huh? Francois Retief.
You know what I love about these DNA tests is that as evolution continues, eventually we're all going to be the same mix of everything.
Yeah, that's true.
It's all going to eventually be one race, one origin, which is amazing.
Yeah, that is. You know what's amazing, Leanne? Something which you wanted to talk about is there's a term in life called out of the pan into the fire, right? And there was a man who was trying to escape something and got eaten by piranhas. Like,
Let's start with asking you how your day is going, because if you're complaining about something this morning, then you really have no rights to complain. But this guy was fishing with friends. I think it was in South America. I must bring up the story. I'll bring it up as I'm speaking.
It was in the Amazon.
In the Amazon. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
He's fishing with friends, and all of a sudden there was this massive swarm of bees. And if ever you've been exposed to something like that before, you literally run for your life, never mind the cows in KZN. But he and his friends scattered, and thank goodness there was a body of water nearby, because that's the best place to go, is to just get into the water and stay under for as long as you can. So that's what they all did. And when his friends got to the shore, they noticed that he was missing. He was later found eaten by piranhas. I'm sorry.
Sure.
He was later found eaten by piranhas. Talk about being stuck between a rock and a hard place, you know?
the first thing I want to know is, why are they fishing in the middle of the Amazon as grown men?
People gotta live.
Yeah, you gotta live.
Amazon. That's where you're gonna choose to fish.
they were either looking for food sources or just having fun as men going on a fishing trip.
Yeah,
but the bad things that can happen. You know, if you thought sunburn was an issue. Not there. That's the least of your worries.
I can't think of a worse way to go, like
but,
piranhas.
To be clear, the piranhas didn't kill him. Apparently, he drowned. Apparently, he drowned, and then the piranhas fed on him afterwards.
Oh.
And also, let's be clear. Let's not shame the piranhas here as well, because piranhas are actually they aren't any cases of them knowing. Known cases of them having eaten people alive. They've never killed anyone before.
They aren't one for
but
homicide.
They tend to feed on you once you're gone. They're like the hyenas of the world.
No, I mean, was it Demi Lovato who said it's not aliens, it's extraterrestrials? So if we're giving rights now to beings that we don't even know exist, we've got to think about things we know exist, which is piranhas. And I certainly, and I'm with you, Leanne, because I love nature, I won't have piranhas being put in the same boat as, oh my god, the guy who shot Megan Thee Stallion, Tory lanes. So I don't want piranhas being put in the same lane as Tory, right? Absolutely not. Oh. I don't know if you've heard the story.
No, piranhas have rights too.
They do. They do. Je suis piranha, as you know, as we were saying for all of the other people. Are you kidding me? This is amazing, right?
It's a bad day. It's a bad day. He shouldn't have gone fishing that day. He should have listened to his wife and just cleaned the garage, you know?
Yeah, and honestly, just not hopped onto the boat and right into the Amazon with his boys. And if you think about it, it's like it's a triple whammy. It's like there's bees. Okay, cool. Already like, okay, yeah, it's a swarm of bees. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And then there's the, you know, now you have to jump in the water and swim.
And drown.
Hopefully, piranha. You can swim.
Yeah.
But then you drown and then you get chowed by piranhas. I think it was his time. It was his time. Like, God just wanted to take him because, yo, that's a lot. He was better off just getting bitten by the bees. That's it. And just getting stung and just
God
dying.
Was like, damn, I missed. Let me try something else. Man, let
got
me
him.
Try something else.
Got him.
Got him.
Got him. Listen,
shame. May his soul rest in peace.
R.I.P. But God needs stuff to do as well. He's been around for a long, long time. I mean, there's only so much Sudoku you can do, you know.
Yeah, look. So Tory Lanez, yes. Tory Lanez, a couple of months ago, was like in the news for apparently having
Tory
shot
Lanez.
Megan Thee Stallion.
You need to explain to some people.
Tory Lanez is a Canadian rapper / singer. Mm-hmm. And he obviously became very popular in the past couple of years because he's just like really talented and really cool. But things got a little bit messy. You know, like with these rappers, there's just always something. So things got a little bit messy. Him and Megan Thee Stallion, who at the time was his friend, they were just like having too much fun and making too much money. These people are kids. They're like 26, 27, around there. So these kids are out there, night out on the town. And I remember specifically watching a video, like, of helicopter footage where the cops had stopped them and Megan Thee Stallion was, like, basically crawling out of the car because she was bleeding. So the cops are like, yo, why are you bleeding? What's going on? I think, you know, something's up. And the cops arrested the guy right there and then because he had apparently shot her. So Tory Lanez is now in custody or whatever because he had apparently shot her. And then a couple of weeks later, she released a video saying that, you know, you need to be careful about who you hang out with because some people are, you know, they're not going to be happy for you and they're going to mess you up. So yeah, Tory Lanez shot Megan Thee Stallion in her feet. And now, you know, he could go to jail for like 23 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not for shooting her in the foot. It's also for having illegal handguns in his car. So Tory Lanez,
yes.
You know, these people with money, I mean, sometimes you have to ask yourself, like, should we put a cap on money to intelligence
ratio? It's the boredom. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's right? Boredom. Like, once they're rich.
Bored.
Mm. Yeah.
And
they're young.
Well, it's not an excuse to shoot someone in the foot. I think, listen, yesterday we made a rule on the MKT show. Don't shoot your girlfriend in the foot, right? And certainly don't shoot her in both feet.
Okay.
And then another rule. Don't shoot anyone's girlfriend. Like, don't shoot anyone's girlfriend at all. I think that's a pretty solid rule, don't you?
Or anyone.
Yeah, don't shoot anyone.
No, well, I don't know about that. I don't want to start getting caught up in don't shoot anyone because I don't know what the other dude did to you. But don't shoot your girlfriend because, like...
Okay, but don't shoot.
Well, I don't know. Again,
don't shoot.
Life's not perfect. You know what I mean? Is somebody sleeps with your wife.
Don't.
Well, somebody sleeps
just
with your wife.
Don't do it. Just stop.
You know.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying. Stuff happens, you know. Lebang, I've noticed this morning you sound a little bit like you're coming from hell a little bit. Are you one of these hay fever people? They're like I've never understood it, right? Shocker. I'm not exactly Mr. Sensitive, right? And I know that's a shock, so I'll let you take that in for a second. I've never had any allergies or whatever, so whenever people go, my hay fever's acting up, in my mind, I always immediately go, jeez, bloody hell, toughen up. But it's actually a real thing. So are you in the hay fever game right now?
It is a real thing. Like, so I think I'm going through a thing where, like, the weather, I'm not responding well to the fact that the sun is shining, it's still shining. Like, I don't really respond well to that. And this morning at around like 2 o'clock, I kind of just woke up because my nose was completely blocked. And now I'm breathing through my mouth. Now my mouth is dry. And I don't have to drink water. I have to literally get up, go to the bathroom, put my mouth under the freaking tap. It was just, it sucks. And the only bottle, like, in the vicinity was my daughter's milk bottle. I literally contemplated, I'm like, should I just empty out this milk bottle? I was like, should I just empty out this milk bottle and just, like, you know, because I can't keep going to the sink to drink this water. So to answer your question, yes, I think, like, there's a bit of, like, sinusy / hay fevery energy going on, but it's not just me. It's something happening. Like, they're seeing it now more and more. We generally are all, most of us, going through some, you know, and we're not all you, Mbulelo. Not all of us are gymming every day, eating fruits every day, healthy, 101, what. Like, we're just living life and now enjoyment, you know, fast food, whatever we want. So when we get a little bit sick, it's like, oh man, this sucks. So yeah, to answer your question, yes, I do have to.
Tasha Nevestein has an interesting fact for us on the comments.
All right. Carla van der Westhuizen says the pollen count in Gauteng this week is up by like 200%. Listen, I'm also, I mean, as much as I said what I said, listen, it's a real thing, right? People are sounding nasally. It's happening. Now, Leanne, a sleeping Jesus, would that help Lebang at all, or is that purely for apnea?
It's purely for apnea. All it's doing is shoving air down your throat to keep your throat open.
Sorry, Lebang, I tried.
Well, it's okay. Nothing. A bit of Allergex can't fix.
Allergex. But is it a nightmare world? Hey, like, again, for not everybody has allergies. Are you just literally, does it feel like you can't breathe?
No, it's just like I wake up and my nose is blocked and I can only breathe through my mouth. But I'm breathing through my mouth, it's just dry. Like, it's chaotic. It's so unpleasant. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. Like, don't.
And that's a mild case. I mean, I look at my mom who suffers terribly from allergies. Like, they have to be careful of what trees are in the garden. They've had to cut down certain trees. But it affects her eyes badly. So it gets to a point where for about a week, she can't even open her eyes because they're burning so much and just swollen shut. It can get really, really horrible. And then also affecting your lungs as well. So you'd need steroid asthma pumps and things.
Yeah. So I studied 2 years of genetics, right? And it's one thing it's given me an appreciation for is how fickle the human condition is, actually. So everything you guys are saying, it's like, listen, you are...
Like a candle in the wind.
The great Sir Elton John. The great Sir Elton John says she did live her life like a candle in the wind. What a legendary guy. And he must
go at any moment.
And he can't go to Zimbabwe as well. He could go at any moment, but do not go to Zimbabwe, Elton John.
Yep. Sorry.
Yeah. Honestly, don't care how much of a rocket man you are. That is one place they are not interested in. I mean, he's just a legend, right? So obviously being gay, not a genetic defect, is not, we don't want to connect those two. Being gay is great. Do your thing. But hay fever, that is a genetic thing. Sleep apnea, that is a genetic thing. And that must be a while. So, Leanne, now that as I'm talking, I'm thinking...
Do not laugh, Mbulelo.
No. Sorry, I had to compose myself there. When you are sleep apneaing at night with the sleeping Jesus, let's just say I'm your partner. Am I now a part of the sleeping Jesus mix? Or are there other solutions?
It's so quiet that you don't hear a thing. What's your actual question?
No, I'm just thinking, Lebang, I'm glad you said that. We'll come back to, your face is excellent, Lebang. I want to come back to you.
It's a ventilator. It's a ventilator. So
but hold on, Leanne. I want to finish off on boyfriend. I'm sleeping next, or girlfriend. You're entitled to have whoever you want next to you. So what's my world now? You're turning sleeping Jesus, a rotating thing. Can I hear it at all?
It's not rotating, Mbulelo. It's a mask sitting on your face. Imagine a person on a ventilator in a hospital. The mask doesn't move. It just sits there and shoves air down your throat. But it's the machines now are so sophisticated, and they have these silicone mats which cover any opening. And if I could give you the sound of what it would sound like sleeping next to me, It's like this. It's nothing. Oh, it sounds like I'm breathing normally.
It's actually a bit erotic. Mm. I kind of like it now that I think about it. That was, it was quite erotic.
But ASMR.
Yeah, no, it was quite, I quite liked it. Good for your boyfriend. Oh, who's coming? Leanne, hold on. I'm going to get these rocks into my hands. And if I know one thing about rocks that are colored differently, they will bring a new energy. 2022, Leanne, the man of your dreams will come to you. I'm touching the green rock now. This is the green of opening gates.
Is that
gates.
The man of your dreams rock?
It is. It opens gates.
Opening gates.
Gates
sorry.
To where? To the mole. Which mole? Leanne mole.
But the thing is, Bulelo, I don't know if I want someone to come into my life. That's
okay.
The thing.
Well, I hope they come into your life and they're great and it changes your mind, because love is a great thing, isn't it?
Ooh.
We're all best
friends. It is, and I'm a romantic at heart, yeah. And I generally am waiting for my prince to come.
Awesome. I hope it's in 2022.
I thought the other day, if my prince does come, and let's get our minds out the gutter,
yeah.
But if he does come, then I don't know if I'm going to be willing to open my door, get your minds out the gutter again.
Yeah. No, listen.
It's too easy.
Be open to it, Leanne. I'm holding rocks, for goodness sake. Be open to it.
The green rock. Yeah. Like, Leanne, the thing is about, like, love, from my experience, and I've got very little in my 31 years of life, but it's like it comes at you when you're not planning it. So if you sit and you say, you know what, I'm looking for love, I want this, I want that, chances are your energy is going into finding a person that doesn't really exist. You know what I mean? But if you just kind of like chill and just let things happen, you could just fall in love with someone tomorrow and elope and we'll never see you again.
And also,
unfortunately, experience in that regard too has burnt me, because I wasn't looking for anything. Someone amazing came into my life and it ended horribly.
So
actually they weren't that amazing.
I don't know.
They weren't that amazing. It's good advice for Ryan. Just because they're amazing up front doesn't mean. But Leanne, the one thing I've learned about you is you are an extremely kind person. And, you know, as much as I don't have pets, as you can always tell, you can get a gauge on people, how they treat animals, sort of their natural setting. Because you don't have
I
to be nice.
Too, but...
No, hey, I'll eat a cow. Listen, we will go for steak. Leanne, I will let you know. Let's go for a steak. Maybe bring your cats to watch. If they don't behave, this will be you very soon.
Give them some steak.
But you're a very kind person, so I think you'd be an awesome person for somebody who's looking for to be with somebody kind. That's an awesome trait.
Yeah,
so
no, look, I can love hard. I can treat a person really well.
Yeah.
I have plenty of space for that in my life.
Awesome. And I hope it happens for you. I really, you know what, Leanne, 2022, let's all manifest it. Plus, I'm a Taurus, so that means something to crystal people.
Please put the orange crystal into your hand with the green one. That's the one for money.
Okay. Yes, it is the one for money. I'm rubbing it now with my thumb.
It needs to be a guy. Listen, if a really kind, rich guy comes into my life, I might consider it.
Emphasis on rich.
Yeah, actually, if we could just get that right, because language is important. If a really rich, kind guy comes into Leanne's life, she appreciates. And speaking on that note, right, we were talking about whether we should shoot some people. Lucky Matlapeng says, so I shouldn't shoot my shot. Now, to you two ladies, you said you shouldn't shoot anybody. I'll let you answer. So Lucky now mustn't shoot his shot because you guys said he mustn't shoot anyone.
Lucky, you can shoot your shot. You can slide into DMs. You can like pictures. You can comment on pictures. You can shoot your shot. The only thing you're not about to shoot is another human being with a gun. Yeah. That's what we're saying. Don't be weird. Yeah. Don't be like, ugh.
So what are you thinking there? Go Becky Chele, shoot to kill. If you're going to shoot, shoot to kill.
Go hard. Go big. But go big when it comes to love.
Lebang, you've just brought up something interesting. In the dating dimension, it's a whole new world. There used to be a time where, you know, we meet each other. You meet her. You see her at the bar. Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks moment, obviously, blah, blah. You walk over. Some of us don't look like Taye Diggs, so it hasn't always been an option for us. You know, we just go. So I have two particularly handsome friends who I used to go out with In fact, it's always been my tactic, even when I lived overseas. But in South Africa, I have two particularly handsome friends who I don't really like that much as people, but I've seen the benefits of hanging around handsome people.
So they're not your friends?
Well, they're a proxy. They're a proxy, a means to an end.
It suits you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but the DM thing's a big thing, right? I've got female friends telling me just their DMs are on fire. So is that, Leanne, is that like just a real world, hey?
What was the question?
About DMs.
That was a lot.
People sliding in the DMs. Yeah, don't worry about me using people as
Oh, yeah. That definitely happens. But it's usually very short-lived because the opening line is everything. And if it's like, hey, sexy, it's done. It's kept. Yeah. Yeah.
And these days, it's like somebody trying to coerce you to get into Bitcoin. So it's like,
it's not much chance. No, yeah. It's like going into middle America with a vaccine mandate. It's not going to happen.
Listen, I hear you. If you're going to get into Bitcoin, let's be very clear. It doesn't need to be some douchebag on WhatsApp. We got Sean from Revex. He's actually a great package because he's one of the most handsome people to ever live. But preceding that, he's actually got a CFA qualification. And if you're going to do Bitcoin, do it through Revex. Just call Sean. It's going to be worth your time as eye candy. And then he's also incredibly smart as well. He's got every single CFA qualification you can imagine. And he's in the game. So he's not going to scam you.
Yeah.
All right.
He's good, people.
Yeah, he's great. It's Sean. Now, somebody else who's in a scam. By the way, so obviously, Leanne, I know you were at a cycling race, which is more adjacent to doing crazy stuff. We're going to be joined now by a man who is living that lifestyle. Our guest coming up is a guy called Gavin Sinclair. Gavin is an extreme adventurer, motivational speaker, life coach, and recipient of the Purple Hearts SA Award on the 1st of October. He received that award. He embarked on a 1,000-kilometer adventure from, and it's so important for people to hear this, Quebecha. I don't want to hear Kubera anymore. Quebera.
Oh, no.
Quebecha. Quebecha. So anyway, he went from Quebecha to Cape Town to launch BrandMed's Centro P well-being program. So with that, it is my absolute pleasure to welcome Gavin Sinclair on. Gavin, how are you doing, sir?
Yes, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm very well, thanks. I arrived back in Cape Town from my 31-day run yesterday at about 20 past 11.
Jeepers. You look like you're in an atrium there, by the way. Great, great setting there that you've got behind you. It looks very peaceful.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Your Honor. I'm back now in Joburg. I flew to Joburg yesterday afternoon, so I'm happy to be back in Johannesburg.
Yes, I mean, but let's get into it, right? Leanne, on to your left on screen, was saying she was in a mountain bike race a couple of years ago. Lebang's a lady, so she's obviously, we've lost Gavin, but you Lebang, you in the health lifestyle because you've got children, five children. That is
he's running again.
A full-on worker. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, he ran back to the airport.
Yeah, 1,000 kilometers, not enough. 1,500 k, says Gavin. We'll get him back. But listen, there's these types of people who do these things, right? I mean, I'm fortunate enough to kind of know a few of them and be quite close with people that do these adventures. Is that like 1,000 kilometers? Like, I don't know if people know how long that is. If he were walking it, he was doing it with a 15-kilogram pack on his back.
Yeah, that's something else.
It's like asking me what I would do with 349 million rand as opposed to 349 billion rand. I don't know if I can actually, it's like, it's minus 20 outside and then tomorrow's going to be minus 40. It's still cold. It's still rich and it's still far. I can't draw the comparison.
Yeah, it is wild. Let's see if we can get Gavin back. Gavin, are you back with us?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that. I have no clue what happened.
No, it's okay. Listen, you run 1,000 kilometers. Maybe we give you a break. You know what I mean? It's. I think if one person deserves a break, it's you. So, Gavin, let's get into why you did what you did and what pushed you to sort of take on this adventure. And I'd also love to know how you prepared for something like this.
So I signed up with Cinch P Wellbeing Program that made me a brand ambassador this year to obviously drive the new, launch the new program in conjunction with me doing a 1,000-kilometer run, solo unsupported. And in terms of training, I've been running for over 15 to 20 years. And over the last 6 years, I've been doing a few extreme endurance challenges solo unsupported. So 2017, I cycled solo unsupported from Cape Town to Cairo. The following year, I ran a 4,000 kilometer through Africa over 7 months. And then I did an island swim up north of Mozambique and then a beach run. And this year, I'm doing the 1,000 kilometer run on beach, trail and on road from Gqeberha, I hope I pronounced that correct, to Cape Town in conjunction with the Synchropy Wellbeing Program. And the idea around that is just to want to inspire the individual, the community, and the nation to make this 1 millimeter shift in terms of their own personal lifestyles. And even if you've been diagnosed with a chronic disease, that doesn't mean, you know, you should sort of stop and give up in terms of, you know, it's a second opportunity for you to be able to look at your life from a different perspective and a healthier perspective. I mean, for me, for instance, I have my own chronic challenges. I've got ADD dyslexia. I suffer from chronic fatigue. I have an iron deficiency. But, you know, I'm still out there and I'm doing these things and I take on these epic challenges. And it's all about the headspace. It's all about your mindset. So regardless of what you've been diagnosed with or told about, it doesn't mean that you must stop. It just means that you must focus more on, you know, that you are able to do whatever you want to achieve in life. And it's the headspace. It's really about your head.
Yeah. And I mean, it is such an interesting thing to me because I'm in your world, not quite as crazy as you are. And it's interesting to me, the mindset side of things, you know, is you don't have to do this. Like most people don't do it and you're leaning in and you've got all of these challenges because we know every Tom, Dick and Harry's got an excuse, right? That they do. Like people just do have their excuses. Is that when you encounter people with chronic illnesses, it's a whole different sort of beast that you're dealing with as a base level to just me getting up in the mornings. Is that for you, how do you approach every single day? Is it a daily thing mentally for you or do you set bigger goals in order to be break down? I mean, 1,000 kilometers is not something you just roll out of bed to do, especially with a chronic fatigue syndrome, if I heard you correctly. Do you plan it daily? How do you approach it mentally in order to be able to break it down like this?
So, how I prepared to cycle from Cape Town to Cairo, it was literally just a few seconds. I just reverse engineered my finish line. So I just told myself I wasn't cycling to Cairo, just simple as that, meaning then you just enjoy each stage. The idea is to be presently fully moment in the present and then not worry about the end goal. I know they say you should always look at the end goal, but when you're doing things on a larger scale, it's just to be concerned and focus on each day. So you break it down into modular. It's the same as if you're running a 21K trail or road run. Just prepare in your mind that you're doing a 41K. And in some way, it actually makes it easier. And before you know it, you've already done the 21K. So for me, on my run, I don't focus on the 1,000 kilometers. I focus on what I'm doing each day. So, you know, for you to be able to run and then you get to a stage that day after running 6 hours or perhaps 8 hours if you were on the beach and it was very technical, trying to get over rock and stuff and to get to your stage and then just think, well, you've still got another 900 kilometers to go. That would be quite challenging mentally. But the idea is not to think about you running 1,000 kilometers. The idea is about enjoying what you're doing each day and just taking it into modular stages.
Man, guys, I don't know if you have any questions before I fire away at Gavin.
Sure, it's just amazing. As someone who has ADHD myself, I can imagine that trying to focus on that one goal is really, really difficult. But it can also be quite therapeutic as well. In the fact that you just need to do what you've got to do that day and get it done.
Mm.
Sure. I mean, you know, it is also very liberating, the fact that you can achieve what you set your mind to. And, you know, for me to go out there and do what I'm doing, it has so many benefits. And, you know, some of us, we tend to live in our heads more than in the present. And there's a lovely guy by the name of Eckhart Tolle, where he teaches you about living in the present moment and being fully present and living outside of your head. So, you know, doing these challenges for me, I get to learn and grow about myself on every level. And I get to be able to inspire and motivate people as well, and to be able to speak on a stage about this as well. So for me, it's really about the core is to make a difference and to inspire the individual out there that, you know, anything is possible if you believe in it. Mm. And that's the key. It's just really about your headspace. And if you really want it, you can achieve it no matter what it is. And just to pursue what sets your soul on fire. Chase your dream no matter how crazy it is. 6 years ago, I stepped out of the corporate world into this professional adventuring world, and it's working. And, you know, I've got amazing brands that sponsor me and stuff, and I'm getting to do what I love most, and that is to push myself physically and mentally, and I get to inspire people.
And when you do that, ultimately, I don't care who you are. If you are consistent, right, and you operate at a level, and you get to people like Bezos and these top guys who have been turned into demigods, they operate in terms of efficiency and execution. They're operating at about a 90 to 95% execution rate for about 10 years is the numbers I've read. But people reward you, right? And society will reward you when they see consistency. And Gavin, you were rewarded with the Purple Heart Award in South Africa a while ago. Can you tell us the story behind that and what the award means actually, and then what does it mean to you?
So when I started doing what I did 6 years ago, I came to Cairo and my 4,000 kilometer run and my island swim, I was an ambassador for missing children in South Africa. So it was really about creating awareness and raising funds for the organization, which is part of child trafficking, as an activist. So over those years, the Purple Heart of South Africa recognized me for my humanitarian work and awarded me that. So in terms of, for me personally, it was a lovely feather in my cap and a lovely award to be recognized for doing that. So that's what the award was for. It was for my humanitarian work over the past few years.
Mm. And I mean, you are living your essence, right? Leban, go ahead.
Yeah, Gavin, I'm curious about like some of the stories that you experienced like on all your journeys. Like, are there some people that you met that were just like, that blew your mind? Were there any incidents that stood out, you know, throughout everything that you've done? Like, what were some of the moments that you can share with us that like will always stay with you?
I've got so many stories to tell you. My head is so full, as you can imagine. I mean, my Cape to Cairo, Lake Turkana, meeting tribal people along the Lake Turkana, running out of food, water, sunburnt, my skin up like a lobster, gesturing for water, meeting the most incredible people along the way with the most amazing stories, and literally meeting all these people along my journey inspired and motivated me to keep going. I mean, I can tell you so many stories of being chased, malaria, you know, having diarrhea, having tummy bugs, dealing with mechanical issues, breakdown of the bike, you know, physical issues, and just the incredible journey that you go on personally as well along this, and the media that follows you and supports you, and all the people that sort of help you along the way to get to where you're going. It's been incredible. So a big shout out to just everyone out there over the last 6 years who have assisted me and who support me on this whole journey. So it's been just incredible. But, you know, I've just done this run now and I've taken some photos, and the people have mentioned I should do a coffee book and definitely consider writing a book. You know, this is my fifth challenge now that I've done, so I should certainly look at publishing a book.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, everything you've just said now has obviously made Leanne Lebang and the rest of us want to do it. You know, who doesn't want a little bit of diarrhea? You don't want to be who doesn't want to be dehydrated in Mali?
I don't know.
You know what
Like, that's where Gavin chimes.
Yeah, not for you, Gavin, guys.
Gavin, you are representing us.
We'll cheer from the side. But having heard all of that, you know, a lot of people would go, just like Lebanga said, is, hey, we'll cheer you on. Good luck with, you know, good luck with the dehydration thing. Is what would make you leave the comfort of the corporate world where, you know, it's very easy for people to hide in the corporate world and in a normal work team situation.
Comforts and corporate in the same sentence.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's air-conditioned offices. It's, you know, like you get a salary at the end of the month. It's very comfortable. Most people
medical
are pushed.
Aid.
Yeah. Like, and you can also hide, right? The nice thing about what you're doing and why I love adventure is that when all the fanfare goes away, when all of that stuff goes away, like you said, it's just you now. Nobody runs 1,000 kilometers for you. Every step is just you. You can have as many Instagram followers as you like. Your sport is honest. What you do is honest. It is just you. What would make you leave the relative comfort of corporate and choose the harder path?
Well, I was just wanting to be more authentic and more honest with myself, more real, and to be able to feel more connected with myself. And there's nothing about corporate, it's just about me personally. I wasn't feeling fulfilled and everything around me, and I felt there was a different purpose. I had a purpose in life, and that purpose was making a difference in a different way. So for me, it was about then using my skill and my ability, which I've always known about, which was physically and mentally. I had the stamina to be able to do things on an extreme level. As a child, I used to be very extreme, doing BMX racing and motocross racing and cycling. So I was very active from a child, and I always had that within me. So I just then used those skills and those skill sets to turn what I do and what I love most and just go out there and do adventuring and then just do it for a good cause. So I signed up with Missing Children at that time. And it fulfilled me. It really made me connect with myself again. And on the Cape to Cairo, it also made me learn more about myself and appreciate things like water. When you're in Africa, you don't just turn on a tap and have water. You don't even have electricity. Mm. So you know, and sometimes you don't have water for a few days. So it was just, I felt like I needed to inspire myself again. And I felt I wasn't living a life of purpose where I was making a difference. And that's really the core of what it was. And of course, it has so many other benefits to it. And yes, it is extremely challenging, but it is as much extremely rewarding. And the idea is just, you know, have faith in yourself, know your ability. It doesn't have to be on such a large platform. I mean, just start doing walking every morning and stuff and just start moving and looking at your nutrition and just looking at your lifestyle, because at the end of it, you know, our health is the most important, and that's very much linked to happiness. Because, I mean, if you are fit and healthy, surely you're going to feel happier. And right now, you know, the nation, we're going through quite a few challenges with the past, and there's a lot of pressure on us at the moment. And in this, at least let's look more at our lives from a more holistic point of view and a healthier point of view, because running and moving, it releases endorphins, and, you know, it's just so good for us. And the thing is, you know, once you lose your health, that is it. You no matter how much money you have in the world, you cannot fix that.
Yeah, listen, that is true. The health thing is very true.
Yeah. Kevin, I need to ask, because like a couple of weeks ago, I had food poisoning. So it just resulted in like a lot of like messiness occurring, and it was not pleasant. So as you said, when you're traveling in Africa, things like running water, it's not something that you can just have access to. If you are in the middle of nowhere and you're suffering from diarrhea for whatever case, where do you go? Like, what do you do? I'm just trying to understand, because if I was able to just like kind of just go to the toilet, now you're literally in the middle of nowhere.
So you just do what you do. You just go to your bush. So you just go anywhere and you just let your system do what it needs to do and give it that time because your body heals anyway. So, yeah, you just go to your local bush.
I think of all the things that I need when I'm food poisoned or just feeling really ill, I need the room to be a certain temperature. I need my hair to be tied up. I need my certain loo. I need a certain bucket. I need a certain drink. You know,
chilled to a certain temperature.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a good point. Again, I think it goes back to my point is that our lives are pretty cushy, right? And, you know, we very rarely get to be primal. And for me, the reason I connect and I really love what you're doing is that a little piece, I mean, you are a wild man. It's a whole nother level, but I engage a little bit in more mountain stuff is that primal side of us, if you deny yourself primal life, right, is that you are only living a part of being human is what I believe. And part of your narrative was part of the salvation. There is the salvation in the suffering, whether you're religious or not. I believe that to be true. So I guess you're getting a wider spectrum of the human existence as well. You know, is people living in houses in the burbs only get to live it in a comfortable, narrow way. We are still wild, primal things. You know, we are 98.3% genetically similar to a bonobo chimpanzee. We are only 1.7% away from a bonobo chimpanzee, for those of you who don't know. And that is a hardcore fact, whether you like it or not, is you are serving the primal side. So, Gavin, I think it's an awesome thing. And, you know, you're basically at the PhD level, but somebody wants to change their lives now. They're sitting somewhere. And sometimes it's not about money. You know, okay, fine, money is a thing. But sometimes it's just about people feeling trapped. I'm in a relationship. I hate my health. I hate where I am. I don't like what I see in the mirror. There's a whole spectrum of things. Is there anywhere where you could say on that day you thought enough is enough? What was going through your mind? And give me maybe, let's say, three simple things, you know, it's very that everyone could do like right now that if they want to change their lives.
Well, firstly, I would say, you know, if you talk about it, that's one thing, but you've got to take the action. You have to take that step forward. So less talking and more action.
Okay. Do you write things down?
And I think we all...
So let's start with that. Goal setting essentially is what you're talking about there, if I'm hearing you correctly.
I generally write down affirmations twice a day about what I want to achieve and stuff. So yes, it's good to write things down. But I think we also do get to a point and we complain and we sabotage ourselves. We're not happy with our weight or whatever it is. We're in a toxic relationship. We don't like our jobs and we complain, mm-hmm. complain. I think we all eventually get to a point where we decide to make that shift. That change in our lives, and then we do eventually take that step forward, that bold leap of faith. But I think what holds us back for a while is the doubt, and we sabotage ourselves. But what if? But I don't have enough money. But I don't have time. And that's we are so good at sabotaging as human beings. We love that. We love to play victim at times and stuff. And the point is, if you're unhappy and you're not, and if you don't feel alive. You know, that's so important because life is so short. Chase your dreams. Do what sets your soul on fire and go where you feel alive. And if you're unhappy in any situation or environment, change it and you'll be okay.
All right. So, number one, write things down. I want to start there, Gavin. I just quickly want to make sure that people have something that everyone can practically, if you're above the age of what, 15, you can write mostly. Write it down. Whatever you want to do, if you want to get, I mean, Gavin, that's the down the line. Write it down. I think that's a great place to start, right? Have a goal.
Write it in the morning, write in the evenings, and keep writing it down. Keep thinking about it as you write it down, and then it will pretty much, it will resonate, and you will be able to then just put that into action, into place in your life. So yeah, definitely write these things down.
And then after you had that goal, right? Okay, I'm out. This is enough. Did you go and seek out the type of people you were looking for, or are you just an intrinsically driven person? Did you go and seek out one or two people and say, how did you do this? Or what was your process of stepping out of that old life? Because there has to be a transition period, I'd imagine. Did you go and, what was that like for you?
Well, one of the most important parts for me was when I made that transition, I believed I could do it. Mm. So I knew I could go, I could get to Cairo on a bicycle. So, and I didn't have all the answers. So one of the keys is you don't need to know everything when you make a change. You can know a few things, but things will unfold as you take that step forward. So don't hold yourself back because you don't have all the answers to things. We're not meant to have all the answers to things. And you can't have all the answers before you decide to do something. Otherwise, you just want to move forward. You'll be in your comfort zone. And comfort zones love to keep you there because it's a place of no growth. It's literally where you die. And the comfort zone wants you to stay there. It doesn't want you to move forward because then all the fear kicks in because we're driven by two things, happiness and fear. So you need to embrace fear, love fear, and let fear be your friend and use fear to your to your advantage. And whenever in life there's something that you feel scared of doing, do it because that's actually your intuition telling you you should be doing that. But then we choose rather the easy road. So whatever you feel that scares you the most, do that because that's where you're going to grow.
I love that. Okay, so for number two, I'd wrap it up like this, where you can write it down is number one. Number two, embrace the learning curve. There will be a learning curve. When you change, I think, Gavin, if I'm hearing you correctly, there's a learning curve. Embrace it, right? And you have to take...
Don't flatten the curve.
No, but still flatten the curve, but also embrace that flattened curve. There's a process to flattening the curve. I love that, Leanne. I love that. Don't flatten the curve. But embrace the learning curve. You have to. It's going to be painful, and you have to take absolute responsibility, right? There is no excuse. You cannot look to anybody else to say, my mom didn't, my dad didn't wake me up. There is none of that. If you change, it's on you. So you've written it down. You're going to embrace the learning curve. Let's give them one more, Gavin. What else was a thing for you? So now you've decided, you've written it down, you've done the affirmations, you've now embraced that, hey, it's going to be painful. I will go to the pits of hell to make my transition. And maybe let's give them one more. This is super wise stuff. It's awesome.
So the idea would be, look, let's say you've been doing something for the last 10, 15, 20 years, a bad habit. Yeah. Well, let's say you haven't really been doing exercise or something. And to undo what you've done for 15 years or 20 years, you need to take a 1 millimeter shift. You can't tomorrow all of a sudden stop smoking or stop drinking or all of a sudden lose all the weight and be in shape in a month. It's impossible. You've got to realize, be realistic that this your goals and to undo something that you've been doing or living a certain lifestyle for a period of time, you have to be patient with yourself. But the underlying drive and fuel behind that is whatever it is that you're doing and you're writing down, make sure that it's actually what you really want to do in life, what sets your soul on fire, what you really are obsessed about, and then chase that dream. So for me, adventuring, pushing myself physically and mentally out there and living on the edge, that is what I love most. So it's going to fuel whatever your decisions are as long as you are being authentic to yourself. And that's really, truly what you want to do in life, no matter how crazy it is. Do what sets your soul on fire. Go where you feel alive. Life is too short. No regrets.
Yeah, no regrets. I absolutely love that. So a quick recap. Write it down. Embrace the process. And I think I really loved what you said on this last one. Be patient. You have to be patient. So, Gavin, I want to maybe share something with you that a wise old lady who's in my life, a 95-year-old, she, when you said that word, be patient, and I always used to say patience is a virtue, and she stopped me. She said, no. She calls me Junior, and she says, patience is a virtue of the extraordinary kind. If patience is a virtue of the extraordinary kind. So write it down, right? Embrace the process. And be patient, because patience is a virtue of the extraordinary kind. And Gavin, you're an extraordinary human. I just want to tell you.
Thank you.
You are an extraordinary human, showing what, oh my God, the unthinkable. Tell me, Gavin, where do we go to hold of you? You're an inspirational speaker as well. People may want to get in touch, and people are looking for inspiration. As you said, we need community. We need each other as people, but we need beacons of light like you, especially as South Africans in these times. Where do we get a hold of you, Gavin?
You can get hold of me on Gavin Sinclair Adventures on Instagram, and you can send me a message, or on Facebook, Gavin Sinclair Adventures. And Gavin is spelled with E, with an E, G-A-V-E-N, Sinclair Adventures.
Gavin Sinclair Adventures. I mean, you Adventures. Are incredible. Gavin, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you with us, man. It's really, really
awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and look after yourself.
Thanks,
we look forward to supporting you, and you're flying our flag high. So thank you very much, Gavin.
Appreciate your time. Thanks. And enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. And you too. Boy, oh boy. Get a load of that guy, huh?
Sure. Yeah. What are you doing with your lives?
I don't know. Is it not easier to run away from a swarm of bees and get eaten by piranhas? But I like what he said about not focusing on the end goal all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it's difficult sometimes when we think, I said to you before, Mbulelo, I'd love for you to, I don't know, come and live with me for 3 weeks and get me on a certain path. But the whole time you're doing that, and the whole time you have a motivational person or somebody that you're looking up to, the whole time you're reminded of what the end goal is. And sometimes that can be daunting. You're looking at Gavin and you're thinking, is the goal to cycle from Cape Town to Cairo? No, it's not. Stop looking at that and look at every day simply. So you kind of need a fat Mbulelo to join me by my side and say, okay, this week we're going to lose a kilogram.
Yep.
And this week we're going to walk up a hill together. Instead of, I'm Mbulelo, this is what I look like, and this is what you're going to look like. Because to be reminded of that end goal every day, people think it's inspiring, but it can actually be destroying as well. So I like what he said about try not to look at the end goal all the time. It's not always about that.
And also with the end goal being like the obsession, you kind of like get in on your head, like imposter syndrome can kick in at any moment. You suddenly start not believing that you can do it because it just seems too far away. And also think about like if the end goal is getting to the other side of the shore, or like you're swimming and then you just keep going. Once you're in the middle, it's sort of, you're sort of like, you're stuck. You know, it's too far to swim back to the shore. Or it's too far to go to the other side. You find yourself drowning. So it's nice to know that, you know, you don't always just need to focus on the finisher. Be there, be present, look around and say, you know what? I'm drowning right now. Let me just freaking swim day by day. Let me just swim. I'll see where I get, but you will get somewhere. So I like that as well. That was my takeaway.
Yeah, I know. It's all. Hey, listen. There's a cool sports one that says nobody can eat a loaf of bread, right? You can't bite into a loaf of bread. It's ridiculous. You chew it, but you can eat a sandwich, right? If you can eat it, you can eat a sandwich. Two slices of bread, you can eat that, and that's how you got to do it. And the great Nick Saban says every day is a reckoning. So he's the coach of the greatest college football program, the Alabama Crimson Tide, and he says the reason why he's able to build dynasty after dynasty is, every day is a reckoning. And I think we saw that with Gavin, right? He's saying every day is a thing for him. So as we leave, I think it's a great message, right, for everybody. Thanks to everyone who's joined us this morning. Obviously, Gareth, enjoy your time away. Gareth will be back next week. For those who don't know, he'll be back on Thursday, I believe, next week. But let's write those down. And I think it's a great message to take into the weekend, right? If you're looking for small changes, big changes, whatever it may be, Gavin's given us three great tips. We can all do this, right? Write it down. That's an awesome, awesome start. Embrace the learning curve. And then the third one, which is my favorite, and I need to learn this because I am not a patient person. The third one is be patient. And if Rosie, if you're listening, and I know you do sometimes, is she has taught me, patience is a virtue of the extraordinary kind. So peace, love, and happiness to you all. Thank you, Leanne. Thank you, Lebang, for joining me. We'll be back on Monday. It's been absolutely awesome. Have a terrific time, and be loved. Stay loved this weekend, and do what you can for the man or woman next to you. It's been awesome to be with you. The GCS is out. CliffCentral.com.